Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network.
Mary, all alone in the moonlight, I can smile at the old days, I was beautiful then.
Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast, where today I watched Cats from 2019 with my friend Ian Schrank. Ian uses he, him pronouns. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she, her. And I'm here if you need to talk. I'm ready to go if you are.
Oh, yeah. You like to do this thing where it's like, oh, we've started.
No, I never do that. I would never spring it upon my guest as if I were some sort of a notorious frisky feline. Frisky is not the right word.
Frisky is absolutely the right word. Because today
Does
we're
that
talking
describe
about...
me?
I thought we were talking about the movie.
Ian, if you were a Jellicle cat, let's say, you're auditioning to be the Jellicle choice.
To die.
You really want to die. You're just praying for the sweet release of death and then maybe reincarnation, but you're not quite sure. What would be your skill and how would you display it in some sort of magnificent way to become Old Deuteronomy's Jellicle choice?
Well, this is a very good question. And throughout the film, I was thinking, what kind of cat would I be? I am a very special cat that just learned how to jump onto the refrigerator and stay up there no matter what. And my whole song would be about that. All the other cats are very impressed. Mm-hmm. And I'd break from the song for a bit to do this bit where I like sort of like scratch at my balls. And then Rebel Wilson does a witty one-liner and then it's back to the music.
So this is when she's on screen. This isn't before she's banished from the film for the majority of its runtime.
That was part of her contract. They wanted her to do one-liners throughout. And what? Then she said, I think this might tarnish my brand. So they
right.
negotiated it down.
What is your funny spin on the refrigerator cat? Are you like afraid to come down? You don't want anybody to know? You just like to be on top of the refrigerator?
I feel like I'm on top of the world. That will probably be one of the lyrics in the song.
And like there will be like a CGI globe underneath you spinning. It's a universal property, so of
yeah,
course.
And then
get that brand synergy
like,
in there.
Turn to the camera and I wink when the universal logo. Essentially, I'm going to be Mike Myers, Cat in the Hat, who did the exact same bit. I should have just said that. I'm Mike Myers, Cat in the Hat.
No, that's great. I love that. So Cats 2019, Ian, was this your first experience with the Cats musical? Because it certainly was mine.
Yes and no. I can't say I've ever seen it or heard any of the music.
Well, you have now. You've seen the best version of it.
Some might argue furiously with you about that, but...
Oh, Andrew Lloyd Webber? Fuck him. He
yeah,
doesn't know shit
him.
About Cats.
Okay, this is a tangent. Did you know he inspired Bono to do the Spider-Man musical because he like talked down?
Oh, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark?
Yes. He said like, oh, I'm glad the rock musician stayed out of Broadway. And he's like, I could do a Broadway show. And that's why he did Spider-Man. So Andrew Lloyd Webber has inadvertently created a lot of wonderful garbage in the world.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Man musical, when? When are we going to get the film adaption?
Your move, Disney.
Your look when I said that to you, you were like, so I'm deer in the headlights, cat in the flashlight look.
Cat in the any angle of this movie.
Oh my God, they look like fucking so atrocious, and I love it. I've seen this film twice in theaters. I went and saw it in my hometown. I went and saw it with my stepdad, my mom, my partner Reed, and two of my friends from my hometown. My stepdad fell asleep.
Lucky.
My friend Ben took an edible before the movie and was sitting there with his hands over his face the entire film.
Luckier.
Just like aghast. My mom was like on her phone searching for houses and like looking at shoes on Amazon. There was nobody else in the theater. It was just the six of us just having a grand old time.
And then you saw it last night with me.
That's right.
Which was a very different screening.
Yeah. There were people already doing midnight movie madness call and responses to the movie.
They were ready. When it's like, drum roll, please. Everyone starts patting their legs. The guys behind us, like right behind us, they've like walked behind me to the bathroom. And one of them was like, dude, I'm still so high. Just in your face about it. But it was great.
Yeah, there were all rowdy teens in our second showing.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Because I never really understood the appeal of Cats. Whenever it came up before, people would just be like, oh, that's the longest running Broadway show because people love saying facts. And I'm like,
facts that everybody knows, by the
really?
Way. Because I knew that and I don't know shit about Broadway.
Broadway.
That's Brad Pitt's
Broadway. And so I had never seen it as popular as it was, but I had seen almost several VHS tapes I had growing up had like a commercial for Go See Cats on Broadway. I had no way of getting to Broadway, but I was just like, I should go see Cats on Broadway.
You were thinking about it. You were like, Mom, Dad, how do I do this?
I'm sure my mom could tell you a story of when it's like, oh, Ian, we should go to New York. I'm like, can we see Cats? Maybe Wicked has tickets. I did see The Lion King on Broadway. Now that's a show about cats that is worth seeing.
Did you actually, or is this made up for the bit? Okay.
Yeah.
Great. How was it? Better or worse than Cats 2019?
Better than Cats 2019 and The Lion King 2019.
Okay. Lion King 2019, better than Cats 2019 or worse?
Wow, this is quite the comparison. So, like, visual effects, hands down, is Cats.
One of these movies is very watchable, and the other one is boring. I don't know if you know which one I'm talking about. Cats is fun. I like Cats. I saw it twice in theaters, and maybe I'll go again if I can find another unwitting friend to convince.
I was going to say, does Cats have witty dialogue from Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner? But, like, it essentially does with...
God, Seth
with
Rogen,
James
Cat.
Corden and Rebel Wilson. They're pretty much the same.
We missed out on Seth Rogen, Cat.
Oh, my God, because he was doing Pumbaa.
He would be
James Corden.
The James Corden character.
And I would like him.
Would he do the accent? Because everybody in this movie is either has a crazy British accent or is doing a fake-o British accent, as is
okay, Taylor Swift.
Swift
might be British. We don't know that
she's not. Is Jason Derulo British?
No.
Okay, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. That wasn't me being instigatory. I actually don't know shit about Jason Derulo.
I'm pretty sure you first heard of him when the Cats trailer dropped.
Yeah, that's right. And then you were like, and Jason Derulo is Rum Tum Tugger. And I was like, I don't know what that means. Is that a Broadway guy? I don't know.
Is he from the London Ballet, like most of the stars? Which, God bless them.
This is the start of a bright and shining career for them.
Oh, I even said it to you during the theater. I just thought about all those kids who are so probably excited to be in a big budget Universal musical, but then they're playing CGI mice in this film. If you thought the cats looked bad, every animal that's not a cat is.
Yeah.
Why
the
did
mice, the cockroaches.
The cockroaches had human faces.
Ugh. The mice are really, I mean, they all have human faces, to be fair. They are human faces with little CGI whiskers on them.
Okay, if we're diving into how the faces look.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
I went back and forth about what makes a good cat face the whole time, because I think I was the least bothered by Ian McKellen. And I'm like,
sure.
It's his cheeks. It's his wrinkles. They just compliment it. Then Judi Dench shows up and I'm like, no, the wrinkles don't make it better.
Well, what is the worst looking thing about the cats in Cats? Because I would say it's their feet that float about a foot off the ground and never connect to anything, which is a great element in a movie about dancing cats.
I think, first of all, it has to be said, in a show and story that's the big appeal is the fantastic dancing, you lose some of the joy of live dancing when it's CGI bodies doing it. Like, none of it looks real. So when they like stick their leg up to their head, I'm like, yeah, that's a cartoon. They can definitely do it.
But sure.
When a person does it live, you're like, oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, I guess. But like the dancing breakdown when they sing Singing in the Rain in Avatar was really, really good. Like, you can't deny that was the best part of the movie.
Don't act like I remember anything about Avatar. That is not fair.
So what would you say is the worst part about the cats, the faces?
The faces are just very in your face because it's Tom Hooper. He does the same thing he did in Les Mis where it just slowly zooms in on someone's face as they're singing. And it's like, it was a little uncomfortable in Les Mis, but
right.
They were real people. Now they're not real faces. And you're like, did they animate snot on Jennifer Hudson?
Oh, I
and they
know.
Did in
the
every scene.
Just tears welling and snot drooling out of her nose. The first time I watched this, I didn't notice the snot bubbles. This time, it's constantly there. And it's like, is that practical? Like on set? Was it like between takes like, Jennifer's snot is dried out. Somebody's got to go re-snot her. Or is it CGI
post-shit?
Is
the makeup artist with an eye drop of snot?
Because their faces are like the actors' faces with makeup on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weird fucking thing, is that like their entire body is CGI, like their hands are kind of human but have like CGI fur on them. Their face, just like the main part, is their face with fur on,
with makeup
on it. And the
weird.
Rest of their head is all CGI.
Because there
it's
were times
incredible.
I thought the faces looked off, but the heads looked better.
Because the faces are just like floating in midair, because they've essentially, from what I've seen in behind the scenes stuff, they weren't even wearing like mocap suits. They just like rotoscoped fur onto these people like Roger Rabbit style.
It's like Carrie Fisher's head in Rise of Skywalker on the body double. Oof. No, I think we need to talk about the hands.
Yeah, the hands are really bad. We watched the version where they fixed a lot of the fuck-ups.
Which I'm very disappointed about.
I know. In the original version, you can like see like Rebel Wilson's sleeve in one shot.
Oh, no.
It's just like hanging out.
And not her like CGI sleeve when she zips off her fur. And underneath, it's still her fur, but
God.
With a sequin suit attached.
Okay.
Which is already a gag that wasn't fun or enjoyable to look at.
No.
Then they do a callback when they have to take out the evil boat cat. Everything we're saying
name.
Actually happened in the movie.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you're going to have people listening to this who haven't seen the movie. And
oh, really?
I think
it made $6 million its opening weekend. I'm sure it did great.
On its $90 million budget.
It has grossed $25 million in the United States and Canada, $32.4 million in other territories. Worldwide total, $57 million on a production budget of 90-ish. So maybe it'll make its money back. Maybe we'll see Cats 2, Dogs, in theaters 2022.
The clear spinoff is Cats and Dogs. This is a prequel.
When the dog, like on the other side of the door, when she runs into Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer, and they get chased away by the dog, I was like, show me that dog. I want to see that dog.
It's the same dog from Toy Story, 1999's Toy Story.
Well, I just wanted to see like a disgusting dog-man hybrid that was like twice as large as them. Like,
played by Terry Crews.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's just him saying, bark, bark.
Dogs. Most unsettling part of the film for you?
I think it would have to be the second time Jennifer Hudson sings. That's when you really notice the snot. It really gets all up in her face.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's such a beautiful song, though. And she does such a great
job,
like, belting it.
I get so mad when she kills it, the whole movie.
Yeah, she's great.
And it just pissed me off, because I'm like, do you know what you're going to look like when the movie's done? Like, I'm imagining her filming it thinking, I'm getting that Oscar. And I'm like, You're going into hiding for the next couple years.
The fact that this movie came out and will not be nominated for Best Musical 2019 is so funny. Because it's like one of the only ones. It was like this and Rocket Man.
I mean, there's no like full musical categories, which is fine. It did manage
to
get...
That's true, musical or comedy. It wasn't going to beat...
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
My favorite musical. It did get a Golden Globe nom for Best Original Song, the one that they clearly wrote just so they can get a nomination.
Which one is that?
It's the one Victoria sings.
Oh.
About the beautiful ghosts, yeah.
Yeah,
it lost to Rocket Man. And so...
Best Original Song for Rocket Man, which one?
The one that Elton John sings at the credits.
Oh, okay.
Remember, that was in it.
I don't remember that. I probably left in the middle of the credits. My most jarring point from the film, although there was a lot of them, maybe just like the opening when you first start seeing them like scampering.
Oh, that
in.
Was bad.
But really, when James Corden's character drinks out of the champagne bottle and they just like pour it over his head and he just like gurgles it down for 30 seconds and it's disgusting like CGI champagne, just my heart exploded. I was like, this is my favorite movie.
I also need to give a shout out to, I think when they all get into the theater thing after the introduction of Old Deuteronomy, when they all start like dancing in a circle, then they get on all fours like real cats and their tails become erect,
oh.
Then flaccid, then erect, then
and
flaccid.
And they're all like vibrating.
And they start gyrating as their tail like levitates up.
Right.
In sync.
And anytime they start yowling, like when somebody like does a good performance and they're like, I'm like, no, no.
And they try to make them sound like real cats.
Yes, this is terrifying.
It's weird to look at actual cats after that movie.
It's weird to look at actual human beings after that movie. I'm not quite sure that I know what I look like anymore.
Sometimes I have nightmares.
You saw it last night for the first time. So you had nightmares last night.
No, I feel like I'd seen this movie in my dreams in the darkest part of my mind leading up to this. And this is just some, like, nightmare.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'll ever wake up. So 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 film. It's so great.
Movie-going experience.
Here's the thing. This is a terrible movie. It's truly god-awful terrible. I love it. But it is genuinely awe-inspiring at times. Like, there are times that are genuinely good. What was your genuine favorite moment from the movie that actually thrilled you? If there was one, because there definitely was for me.
I'm trying to think of the most like sincerely loving it moment. I think whenever I enjoyed a song that got me off guard, like the most clever cat, Mr.
Mistopheles.
The magical Mr. Mistopheles. I did think his song was very catchy,
yeah.
But
just because they say the same thing 40 times.
I think that's the secret, but I was going to not point that out to them as a favor.
But that's like most of the songs in the movie. Like the villain song is like McCavity, McCavity. There's no one like McCavity. McCavity. It's like, just, okay, I get it. His name is McCavity.
Sorry, we have to go back to Most Unsettling now that you reminded me about Idris Elba in this entire movie. The green eyes don't work.
His disgusting buff body doesn't work.
Of all the actors, I feel like I can believe them in it. Taylor Swift, yeah, sure. James Corden, of course. Rebel Wilson, designed for you. Jason Derulo, he's just having fun. He's never going to do a movie again.
Taylor Swift either.
Yeah.
I mean, she was in The Lorax and Cats. So, of course, she has a great career ahead of her.
I forgot The Lorax happened.
Yeah, good for you.
Anyway, even Ian McKellen and Judi Dench, like, people love them at this point. They can do a goofy movie now and then.
Sure.
Idris Elba just seems out of place the whole time, and he doesn't look like he's having fun. Even when he tries to smile, I don't buy it. I'm like, who's blackmailing you? What did you do?
Yeah, and the way all the bad ADR, like whenever he disappears, because by the way, the cats can do magic in this movie, disappears in a puff of smoke, and it's always like, wah! Or it's like, McCavity!
And when we saw it, the theater burst out into laughter every time he vanished or made someone else vanish. Because I didn't know there was magic in this lore, but I guess I didn't know much about the lore of cats.
You never heard of the magical Mr. Mistopheles.
I thought he was like an illusionist, you know, sleight of hand. He's actually magic.
My genuine moment of delight from this movie was during Skimbleshanks the Railroad Cat song.
Of course.
One that I missed the first time I saw it, and I was extremely disappointed when I saw it again, because I was like, wow, what a time.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah. The tap dancing
all
was
the
cool.
CGI cats tap dancing on the railroad, and you're like, wow, the choreography here.
The camera spins around, and suddenly they're on a CGI railroad, and then they're in a train. No, I think the other genuine moment I had is when Jason Derulo showed up. One, in that he was the one I was most excited for, because what the fuck? Why did he pick
right,
this?
Right, right.
But then he killed it. Rum Tum Tugger, man. He's a curious cat. He just...
I think that that's just a fun character. I think somebody else could have done Rum Tum Tugger better than him.
Who would you pick? Your dream Rum Tum Tugger.
Tom Holland in 10 years.
Does he have the voice for it, though?
I don't know. What does Jason Derulo... Okay, I guess Jason Derulo nailed the notes and stuff. His accent was atrocious.
That made it even better. Yeah. Are you kidding
me?
No,
that's true. That's true. All of the campiness of this movie definitely made it a lot of fun. Like, the thing about this movie is that any 5-minute segment of this movie, if it was placed in the middle of a normal movie, would be the best part of that movie. You would walk out like, what the fuck was that in the middle?
Even the worst part of this movie was Lost in the Woods from Frozen 2, Kristoff's song.
I didn't see it. I left for the bathroom. I always leave for the bathroom during all the best parts of musicals. And Rocket Man, I left during the Rocket Man part.
Oh, no.
Every time. I can't get it. I don't know how the song goes.
I keep watching it. I'm like, why is it called Rocket Man?
Oh, my God. Fucking cats. This is going to be a midnight movie classic for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, how did everybody involved in this not realize that they were making the most insane movie ever?
I thought of that several times throughout the movie, usually when it got slow, when there wasn't big dance things. So in the original song and in poor Jennifer Hudson's scenes, I thought, okay, someone had to yell, cut the brake, stop this thing. Most people probably didn't.
I'm sure they shut down production 15 times. They were like, Taylor Swift cannot do an accent.
The movie's canceled. We're too far. We can't cancel it.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I bet most people didn't have the power to say anything. Any studio executive is like, oh, we have a great director. We've got the most popular Broadway show. It's going to be fine. So the question is, what was Tom Hooper thinking? Because he was the real creative force behind this.
Sure.
And
I don't
bet
think this was like a ghost directed by Simon Kinberg situation. Somebody had to step in.
Well, the question then is, I can see someone ghost directing it and not using their real name, but why would Tom Hooper choose to put his name on it?
Right.
He thought he was making some risky but will pay off great classic move with this. Fine. He thought, oh, it'll be a visual spectacle that will beat The Irishman for the VFX Oscar. Sure. Who did he think was the target audience for this? Because it's way too horny to be a kid's movie.
Yeah, campy gays in their 30s and...
who grew up watching Cats.
People that ironically watch it.
So it's like he's trying to nostalgia bait, like everything in Hollywood now, but it's for people who saw Cats in like 1994.
Right. This will be fun, or maybe this will be nothing. try and name as many of the cats from Cats as you can without looking at your phone.
All right.
Let's see.
Victoria, Rum Tum Tugger, Gus, short for Asparagus, the theater cat, Macavity.
I'll give you a half.
Macavity, the mystery cat. Deuteronomy.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah, you got to give me.
You got five.
And then Rebel Wilson as herself. Who's the cat that explains everything? What's his name?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, and then there's the magical cat, Mr.
The magical Mr. Mistopheles.
Mistopheles. That's not a real name. So I get that one. There's the brown cat. Gusto James? Is that one?
No. I think I know what you're talking about. Let's do it together. Mustafer Jones? I'm also not looking at a list, so maybe we're wrong. You got okay. Mustafer Jones, Mungo Jerry. Did you say
Mungo
her?
Jerry is what I meant to say.
Rumple Teaser.
Of course. Taylor Swift is like Luminatra or something.
Yeah, it's like Bella Lontro.
Bellatrix?
We're never going to get that one, though. No, it's like something ballerina. I don't know. Skimbleshanks.
Railway cat. Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Did you say the name of like the gray cat that explains who everyone is?
No, his name.
Because all of his dialogue is explaining who other people are, but his most memorable thing is, who's Old Deuteronomy? Old Deuteronomy.
Yes, that was the best part. I was talking about that with you in the theater because people were just talking during this movie in a full theater. Everybody was loving it.
I was awesome.
Just like, what if that happened in real life where you like somebody like walked up and they were like, hey, where's Mia? And you were like, Mia's in the kitchen. She's cooking up a meal.
Because just before that, they even sort of drew attention to it when, hilarious bit, James Corden and Rebel Wilson are tied up on this boat, right?
God.
And this cat appears and it's like, who are you? And there's a pause. I am. And I can't even remember.
His name is ridiculous.
Was he the pirate cat? Was he the cat of the...
He was like the frisky cat or something
No, he had this whole bit about he was on the River Thames.
Yeah.
And he...
And then James Corden was like, you can't rhyme aim with Thames.
Yeah.
It's Thames.
It was hilarious.
The movie's
not
funny,
you really
got to
see it.
All of the
Carpool Karaoke, the movie. James Corden sings this big song about how he's fat, and then he says, don't draw attention to my weight.
God.
I'm sensitive about that. And like the music stops. So it's just him at his best, in his element, doing his comedy.
Did you see Carpool Karaoke?
I've never watched a
single Carpool Karaoke. He did one with Kanye and his entire choir on Kanye's private plane.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like James Corden enjoying other people singing. Mm-hmm. Around him. It's just like him like surrounded by a bunch of people who aren't white, and he's just like, I love it. This is my favorite. I don't know any of these songs. It's like oh, I hate him. I hate James Corden so much. And yet, not the worst part of this movie.
What do you think's the worst part?
Rebel Wilson.
Oh yeah.
She's terrible. She's incredibly unfunny.
That's probably what holds Jason Derulo's song back from being my favorite, is that it was interrupted at least 3 times for witty quips from Rebel Wilson.
Oh my God. The part where she stops him in the middle of his incredible song to be like, I can do that. And also how to break dance is it. And then she starts like dancing.
Not dancing
to like
well.
A trap beat.
That comes out of nowhere.
Really bad. What else is there to talk about with Cats? Is there anything? Because if there's not, we can call it.
I don't know if I said this before, but the moment when the hands really became a problem for me is when Ian McKellen had fingerless gloves on, which drew attention to the fact that his fingers were skin, flesh, human.
Yeah.
But his arms were furry.
When I saw the film a second time, I was really confronted with my own ideas of what I think the movie should be. Because I was like, the problem is they look too much like humans. And also too much like cats. Like, they're in this weird, like, extremely uncanny middle ground.
Yeah.
But it's like, if they looked more like cats, it would be more disturbing. If they were, like, humans with, like, sharp, jagged teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, what if they just looked like cats? like Cats, no human to them.
Originally, I think like in the 90s, they wanted to do an animated version, like hand-drawn animation. I think Steven Spielberg wanted to produce it.
Oh, okay.
His name was thrown around, and the idea is that it would kind of just be like the Aristocats.
That sounds like somebody trying to sabotage Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg is doing this, and Tom Hooper's like, no, this is my project.
Get away, Steven. I bet Steven Spielberg didn't touch it.
He didn't fight for it.
It was like when George Lucas is like, oh, you want to direct The Phantom Menace? And he's like, you know what? You do this one, George.
I want to see what you're going to do with it, George.
But it's like, imagine if they tried doing Cats when it was just hand-drawn talking cats. And I'm like, that would make me actually think, do I like the songs? Do I like the story? Because all the weird cat people are just taken out of the equation.
Yeah, that's true.
I haven't seen the stage musical, but I'm under the impression that they change a lot of the story and that I don't think Victoria's in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's completely made up for the movie to be a POV character.
No, I think that she is, because the cats do walk around and introduce themselves the entire time. I was under the impression they just do it to the audience. Maybe. I think the whole thing about McCavity, like, stealing the cats away to his barge is added.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of shifting and changing around to make the movie more about tribalism and these lofty themes.
Of course.
You know.
That's what I picked up on when I watched it.
Uh-huh.
But, like, yeah, I think the whole, like, conflict with McCavity was made up, and you really felt it when it was resolved without a song. This slapsticky bit. Mostly James Corden and Rebel Wilson, like, knocking the pirate cat off the boat.
Right, she unzips her skin and crawls out of it, as if cats shed their skin like a snake. Maybe that's why she's so big. Maybe she has like 40 layers of skin.
I didn't like any of the stripping in it.
No.
I'm just going to call it stripping because like I didn't mind when cats were naked. I didn't mind when cats had clothing. But when cats that previously had clothing removed that, it felt worse.
That's true.
I realized then, oh, they look naked. And I think you alluded to, it was no more apparent than when Idris Elba revealed he was a really buff cat.
Yeah, and it's like, all the other cats are sort of fatty. All the other cats look like cats, and he's just like, no, I'm pretty buff cat. Look at me. I'm McCavity. But like, he barely sings in the movie. You can kind of tell that Idris Elba was like, I'm not doing that.
He was blackmailed. I swear he was black. Everyone else I can believe they signed up for it, not him.
And his ending, like, as I don't remember the character's name. Jennifer Hudson cat is being taken away to the heavy side layer because she was the Jellicle choice. All of this I understand after seeing the film two times and kind of reading about the plot online. Mm-hmm. The first time I was like, I don't know what's happening. And I wasn't even high. Jennifer Hudson taken away to the heavy side layer. McCavity climbs on to her weird chandelier balloon and he's like, oh, I'm going away to the heavy side layer, I'm coming with ya, and then he just falls off and like tries to poof himself away, can't for some reason.
His teleportation powers are gone
inexplicably. The entire film he's been McCavitying away.
Honestly, like, the mechanics just don't make sense, and it really took me out of the world that they built here. It's so unrealistic.
Yeah, the really grounded universe of Cats 2019.
I was with you, and then why does his powers not work? It's a glaring plot hole, and honestly it ruins the movie for me.
Right. Which actors do you think would have been really incredible in this film?
Do I need to pair them with specific characters?
You can if you want to.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering, like we talked about Seth Rogen Cat earlier. That would have been unsettling.
Steve Buscemi, for starters.
Yeah. No, that would have been good, though. He looks enough like a cat.
He would have been one of those hairless cats.
Oh,
oh my God. We can still make this.
John Goodman Cat.
John Goodman
Cat. Oh, I know. Do you think, like, SNL is going to do a cat sketch?
They better.
Yeah, I want to see.
Well, no. The thing is, if they tried to make costumes, they would look like the Broadway show.
Oh, no, you're right. No. I was thinking they'd be like on a bad green screen and they'd just be like floating around, sort of.
That'd be pretty good. Picture Kristen Stewart cat. That would just make you
angry. I don't want to be turned on by the cats.
I want you to be turned on by the cats.
This is the horniest PG-rated movie I've ever seen in my life. There's so many moments where the cats splay themselves out for you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, I'm glad they didn't animate buttholes on these cats.
Hulk Hogan cat.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan cat would be really good. I think Jack Black cat. Like,
That'd
instead
be good.
of...
Jack White Cat.
Okay, you.
He'd have a big
Jack, Jack Black Cat instead of James Corden.
Oh, immediately better.
Yeah. And he doesn't even do an accent. Everybody else in the movie is British, and he's like, I'm here!
So I think it's... We said it's so unfortunate that these... Most of the main characters that aren't celebrities are like acclaimed ballet dancers from London. What if we went a different direction and got more musicians like Jason Derulo and Taylor Swift? I'm talking Tom DeLonge, formerly of Blink-182. Actually, no, all of Blink-182 as Cats.
Oh, you just want to make it like a rock anthem musical?
No, just Blink-182. And then
Dr.
Kanye
Dre.
Cat.
Wait, no, Snoop would be good. Kanye Cat.
Snoop
Kanye
could
Cat
play
would be
the dog
the
that like chases them and they have to close the door.
Kanye Cat would be good and they would just let him go off and it'd just be like unconnected like Kanye rants.
He doesn't introduce himself as a cat. He just sings about Kanye.
You think they would just be named after themselves? He would just be Kanye Cat? He wouldn't be like...
No, they all got to be as good as Rum Tum Tugger.
Coniferous Tim.
Coniferous Tim is what
like
Seth
that.
Rogen Cat would be
what?
Called.
Okay. Last thing.
Yeah.
What would be your cat's name if you were a cat in Cats?
Fuzzy Boofer.
Fuzzy Boofer.
I'm committing to that.
Okay, because
do
lot
I
of
regret
them,
it? Maybe. Am I sticking with it? Absolutely.
A lot of them have like two parts to them. It seems like it'd be like Fuzzy Boofer Craig. Because they all have like a normal part. They're like Bustafa Jones. But Fuzzy Boofer, that's a good cat name.
What's one of the like thief cats? I keep forgetting his name. Bungo Jerry.
Mungo Jerry Mungo. And Rumpel Teaser.
Mungo Jerry is the one I keep trying to remember. And I keep not... I can like picture how I think it's spelled.
Just think
I can't
of the
say.
Song. It's Mungo Jerry and Romp El Teaser.
I don't
and
remember any of the melodies.
Usually they will just leave it at that.
I always think a bad thing when you watch a musical and... Even if you enjoy the songs, you walk out of the theater not remembering any melody.
Sure, but I've seen it twice now, and I do have most of the songs stuck in my head.
Well, I'm sorry for you.
I wrote down my cat's name when I walked out of the film the first time. I decided that my cat's name would be Bigglydycump Jane.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's good.
The podcast cat? The podcat.
The podcat.
I'd be the elusive cat. No, that's what it's going to be. Because it's always a fun adjective. The theater cat.
Right.
The magic cat. The mystery cat.
Anything else about Cats 2019?
I think everything's been said.
This movie's a gift to humanity.
Like, I'm very thankful for it.
This is one of those movies that I'm so glad that it got made and it came out in the way that it did. Like, what if, you know, the movie never released and then 5 years from now we saw, like, images of it and we were like, why'd this never come out?
Yeah.
This is fucking... Or like if that trailer dropped and then they just canceled the whole thing and we were like...
Or if they said, you know
that.
What? We're going
to
redesign the character.
Oh, it comes out in 3 years like X-Men, New Mutants.
And they'd send 3 different VFX companies to bankruptcy.
Oh, no. They did. The people that did this one went under.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, they were the same people.
I was
going to
say the
Lion
Sonic
King.
People did too.
Yeah, I think it's the same company, right, Reed?
You think it was this or Sonic that destroyed them?
Oh, it was a combination of the two.
It's the 1-2 punch.
When Lion King is the best work you've done, that's pretty dire.
Well, I mean,
times.
It looks nice.
Sure.
Lion King.
It just looks like animals.
Which is what they were told to
yeah,
do, and
no,
they did a great
true.
Job.
That's true. It's not their fault. I mean, this
the
movie,
problem with Lion King is not the visuals, it was the decision that led to the visuals.
It's also the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that they're just like emotionless lions singing Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And it's like, well.
Well, no, I'm trying to say that the decision to say, oh, let's make them as realistic as possible was the problem. The fact that they succeeded in that is not the problem.
Sure.
Because they could have looked like they could have just pasted the cat's faces on those animals.
That's true. There were no moments from The Lion King that like in Aladdin, there's a lot of moments where you're like, wow, the genie looks bad.
Yeah. Or picture Lion King. It's exactly as you remember it. I mean, exactly as the 2019 one is.
Sure.
But John Oliver is a bird person in the same style of the cat people.
Oh.
Which is perfect because he disappears for a part of the movie, like a third of it, and you forget about him. Then he'll pop up again, like, hello, Simba. And you're like,
no. Oh, I thought you were saying everybody in the movie would be the cat's version of themselves.
That's good too, but I like picturing everything's normal except one character.
Okay, the actual last thing. Even though I keep saying this thing is the last thing, this is the last thing. What movie or TV show would be improved upon if everybody in it looked like the cats from Cats?
Does it have to be something animal-based or...
No, it can be whatever. Because I tweeted about this earlier.
The Irishman. The Irish cat.
I haven't seen The Irishman yet.
I haven't either, but picture Robert De Niro as a cat.
Well, I was talking about it earlier because me and Reed were watching Pose.
Marriage Story.
Oh my God, Marriage Story would be really good. We were watching Pose and I was like, Pose is really, really good. And I love how it's just like full of like queer and trans people of color that love and support each other. And it's just really big and extra and tells stories that haven't been told before. But what if it could do all those things and also they looked like the cats from Cats?
It's a beautiful thought.
It'd be a really incredible show. It is an incredible show, but it could be something more.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is it. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I really like that. Avengers Endgame. If like not all the rest of the universe, but just that one, they were like, all of them are cats now.
Yes.
Like everybody that comes back from the portals when they come back at the end are cats.
And so then half the universe is cat people. The other half is...
Yeah. Ian, thank you for coming on the podcast this week. This
I can come up
time.
With more. Mike Myers, Cat in the Hat.
No, get out of here. Get out of here.
Fine.
Where can people find you online?
You can find me at Ian Schrenk on Twitter and Instagram.
Great. And I'm on Twitter at Stop Tweeting Mia. Thank you guys for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. As always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and I'm here if you need to talk.
Open your eyes and experience the magic as never before. Now at last on video, for the first time ever, Andrew Lloyd Webber's timeless masterpiece, Cats.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsedis.
Kayla Itzinez.
I'm Kaylette Zenas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.